This morning's gospel reading is from the Gospel of Luke. And just as a preliminary, this is where the passage begins, chapter 11, where disciples ask Jesus, teach us how to pray. And he says, when you pray, close yourself in your room and say, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, etc. And at the end of the Lord's Prayer, where he says, and do not bring us to the trial, this is where our reading begins. And he said to them, suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him. And he answers from within, do not bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. And so I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Search, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds. And for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, will give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, will give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? The Gospel of the Lord. This is one of those readings that perhaps raise issues for us in terms of prayer, in terms of response to prayer, in terms of God's hearing prayer, and all those things. So if you would like to share your thought on this passage, however it strikes you, please.
How much more will the Heavenly Father give to the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Are we really that evil? If we're going to give gifts to our children, does that make us evil? So that, you know, basically that's why I'm not in the other room. This one turned me over. So I'm looking for an insight. The first part of this is reminds me of a French song where you have the guy that is down on the first landing, and then he calls the other guy upstairs asking him for a light because his friend came in and there is no light. And it's a whole song. And when I read this, I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. And it ends up very well because the other one gives him a light. So it's all, I think that we're all kindness, all right? We all have good hearts. Why would we be called evil? Okay, that's my question. Next.
Good question. Good question. Interesting question.
I had the same question, but I'll leave it at that. This has been said time and time again, but I read it, and I thought I liked it, and then I didn't. But then I thought a little bit more. And I don't see that it tells you that the answer is going to be what you want. I think it's what God thinks is best for us, but that has a whole category of not too much fairness in life. I mean, because some people have more problems than others. But anyhow, I find with myself the things that I thought I needed and wanted weren't answered, the prayer wasn't answered, but now, as old as I am, I look back and I'm thinking, oh yeah, that's what I should have had. That's where I should have been. I didn't need to be where I thought I should be at the time I said the prayer. So that's what I think I get out of it.
I love what Mother Teresa had to say about listening. And it's just that when I pray, I listen. And then the interviewer asks, and what does God say? And she said, God's listens too. So I did hear a little interview with her, and how when she prays, she doesn't, you know, say, she just is in listening mode. So I think it's important that we need to listen also. That's what I have a hard time
with. Listening.
You can go first. It's not that I don't want to pray for people on the prayer list, but there's a lot of names and what do you say? And I think that's freeing, what Mother Teresa said, that you can just stare at those names and be quiet. And that's all you have to do, and that's quite freeing. Like they say, the Holy Spirit knows what you're trying to say, which fits in today.
Prayer is many things, right?
I teach a meditation class every week with five other women, and this passage is my favorite passage of all passages for this purpose, because it speaks to the relationship of cause and effect between the spiritual realm and our own practical lives. Ask and it shall be given is a posture. It's a posture. It's a relationship, and it is the point of change in any life to align an intention of good heart with a request from higher support. So through this process, real change can come, because the heart has to make the choice that it's willing to change, and then it asks for that support. So when he speaks of this word, the word evil, my sense of it is that what they're saying there is, you who are evil, meaning all of humanity is in a state of missing their relationship. They haven't optimized their relationship to spirit yet. And that, so being evil simply is the state of being separate from our own divine nature, from our own higher nature. So the word evil in this case, and it may be a translation issue, you know, it could be a lot of different things, but my sense is it's like we carry a certain weight of sin, a certain inability to be present with God all the time. We have our own agendas in our own world and our own way of being, all of which have limitations compared to what this invitation is about. So that's how I read the word evil here, is you who are evil, meaning everybody who isn't constantly in relationship to their higher nature, the best that they are, is missing an opportunity to emerge and discover what love really looks like, you know, at all times. At all times.
Is that kind of like the evil, is kind of like the word that back in 1800s, 1900s, they were all sinners?
All sinners. Yeah, I say it in the microphone.
Is that like that when the, it's up till probably, 56 years ago, the Bible thumper would be calling us all sinners and have to go and repent. Right, so, and I get Les's translation with the evil factor there, where we all do have some sin that we carry. Is that on page with that a little?
Sure.
Oh, yes. Pulling out the big guns.
You know, I'm sorry my voice is like this, but I have always wondered why more people have not volunteered for the prayer ministry. People have come to me and say they are helped by the prayers and they think it's a wonderful thing, but there's a standing request that people call the office and put their names in so that all these people that we have in this bulletin are being prayed for by everyone. And then I heard from the back, Fern, sometimes people have said that to me when I was in nursing, that they didn't know how to pray. They don't know how to pray. Well, you don't have to pray per se. Just sit down and have a good conversation with God. That's a prayer. Tell him what you feel, how you feel. Sometimes you can even raise your voice and get kind of upset. But anytime you're in a dialogue like that, that's a prayer. You don't have to. I mean, there are some beautiful prayers written, and sometimes that may intimidate us from not, well, I can't say those words. I can't. Well, whoever is up there, he, she, it, is not looking for us to write an epistle. It's looking for us to open our hearts and share our sorrows or our requests with him. And no matter sometimes how we do it and how long we pray, we feel like it's never been answered. But I'm with Barb, and I'm saying that oftentimes in retrospection, you look back and you see, my God, it was answered. Not exactly how I wanted it, but it was better for me this way. So that's all I have to say.
Amen. Thank you. I like Lily Tomlin's comment. I think I printed it in the bulletin. You know, it's all right for us to sit and talk to God, but when God starts answering us, we're called schizophrenic. You know. Prayer is a very challenging experience because it says a lot. How we pray or our attitude toward prayer says a lot about what our belief system is. That somehow prayer has become for many a kind of a bargaining place where we talk to God and ask for this, that, or the other thing and wait for that to happen. And when it happens, everything is fine. And when it doesn't happen, we get very frustrated and wonder, well, where's God now? You know, what about you're always present? What about you're always giving me what I need? What about being there for me right now in the worst moment of my life? And all of that's very real, and that's the frustration about things like prayer and this particular gospel passage, because it does set us up for the great fall. If you read it literally, knock and the door will be opened, you know, seek and you will find, and ask and you will receive. That all automatically translates into whatever I'm putting out there, it's going to come back the way I want it to. And interestingly, the lives of the mystics, and we've all been around long enough to know that that doesn't happen. And it may keep us from praying altogether. Another problem with prayer is most of us think that it's a lot of words. It's somehow I've got to say something. And as Agatha points out, you know, we were brought up with this attitude that there's something flawed about us. And in fact, as Scott reiterated, you know, we went through generations of hearing from the pulpit, we are sinners. All of us are sinners and are not worthy. And in the Catholic tradition, they've gone back to, I am not worthy before you receive communion, which we did away with for a while, and now it's back. We're back to the unworthiness stuff. Unfortunately, that's part of the development of the early church's theology. But if you look at Jesus, and look at Jesus and what he does with the people, that's where we need to root ourselves. And what he does with the people is there is absolutely nobody that he ever rejects for any reason, including the enemy, the centurion, the government, including the hotheads in the temple. They refuse. They walk away. They reject him. He does not reject them. And if you begin there, if we begin there and understand what prayer is, he says in those words, Father in heaven, etc., etc., which is a wonderful prayer because it does a few things. First of all, it acknowledges God. Secondly, it says we are all in this together. Thirdly, we find ourselves in peril many times and have needs. So would you please provide for us on the way? Amen. Very simple. And that's a good prayer to have. Maybe those are the only words we ever need to say. But I would suggest, after many years of going through the meditation stuff and being in the contemplative world and reading about all these people and going into the mystical world and all the rest of it, what it comes down to is each one of us, wherever we are, needs to do what we need to do and to hell with what everybody else tells you. Because prayer is you standing in the presence of your God, period. It's putting yourself in that place. What happens there is between you and God. If you use words, that's fine. If you use whatever you use, it's fine. Whatever you do is fine in that space. And I have come to understand, for me, after years of singing psalms together in a community and doing worship services that are high church all the way down to low church with guitars, all those various forms of expression are meaningful in their own place, but they do not replace our personal relationship with the God of our understanding. And so for me, I think, and what I look for in prayer is simply that I will be taken a little bit higher than I dare ever go, to see things perhaps a little bit differently, to understand things a little bit more broadly, to understand more fully what love really does in the world and what power I have, and walk away from it, not with any kind of contentment that I've accomplished something, but with a new awareness of myself. Because sitting and standing, kneeling, being in the presence of the God of your experience calls you to real humility. That all the judgments we make are flawed. All the things we have decided are really not so decided. Things are still going on. In God talk, when we talk about God, there is always something more to be discovered. We haven't finished the story. And that story will only be finished for you and for me when we are there before God and understand who we truly are. I think that's the goal of prayer. If I become who God intends me to become, and if I approach the world from that humble place of knowing that I'm not perfect, knowing I don't have answers, knowing that I have really little power except what's been offered to me, I won't tromp through the world making judgments, hurting people, cutting people off, doing things that are non-progressive as far as building community. I can't do that and honestly sit before God. In that sense, Agatha, that's why I think he was talking about you who are evil, because we are separated from that. We don't experience that, and that really is the goal of prayer. That's just my thought. Anything I ever say here, by the way, I may be dead wrong. You know, I really can be all wrong. Somebody will come along and correct me eventually, but No, we're not. But here, no, I give you what I can. But that's what I think prayer is. And if only we could teach our children that. If only, instead of learning the Our Father in the Bible quotes, we taught our children the importance of being yourself and sitting there in the presence of however you understand God, to sit there in silence. If as children they could learn humility, that is, who I really am, not who I think I am, not what they want me to be, who I really am, they would be much stronger in their faith. even if they don't know the Bible, even if they don't know the dogmas, even if they never go to church. Okay? Just my thought for Sunday.